Welcome to Inside Track. Santa Aurelia LLC is solely responsible for its content. The views and opinions expressed on Inside Track are those of the host and guests, and not necessarily endorsed by KVOI or its advertisers, but they should be. And now, here's Bruce Ash.
Hello, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be. This is Bruce Ash welcoming you to a special autumnal edition of Inside Track. As always, thanks so much for supporting our great Inside Track sponsors, Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, and Corazon Cabinets. These are great local companies you should do business with. Now, talking about companies you should be doing business with, Corazon Cabinets is your locally owned wholesale source for high-quality kitchen, bath, and office cabinets. Call 488-2266 and let Joy, Kelly, and Jennifer help you design your dream kitchen or bath area. Boy, I'm having those problems reading again today, folks. Corazon Cabinets carries J&K, Conestoga, and now Yorktown Cabinets. Come by and visit the showroom soon. See our displays of what your home will look like with Corazon Cabinets. We are one of the few suppliers of Yorktown Cabinets in Southern Arizona. So call 488-2266. Let them know you heard this ad on Inside Track to receive an additional discount on Corazon's already low wholesale prices. You'll be amazed by the great styles and super low prices at Corazon Cabinets. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
My main goal is to make everything easy for the customer, whether every decision I make in terms of business is, will this make sense for the customer, and is this make it easier for the customer to come and look at material, how the yard is organized, what material we cover, what material we offer, anything like that.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
Imus Wilkinson Investments, 777-1911, is a unique investment management firm. They pay little attention to where the market indicators are because smart investment management goes way beyond checking stock exchanges. They are very good at managing all types of investment based on client expectations. They build relationships, and they want clients, not customers. My family is proudly included among them, and they'll help you, as they did us, design a portfolio that achieves what you want when you need it. Imus Wilkinson Investments, they're really good at what they do. 777-1911.
Hi, this is Ken Carrolls from the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum. We're located downtown next to the Amtrak station at 414 North Tool. Parking is available. You will see the locomotive 1673, which was in the movie Oklahoma. We have a gift shop. We have model trains. And then from there, you can visit the Amtrak station. Admission is free, but we certainly accept donations. We're open every day except Mondays. And for more information, go to our website, TucsonHistoricDepot.org.
One of the most important things for veterans is to be heard, and VA is listening. Appeals modernization is changing the way VA decision disagreements are processed, for the better.
Veterans, if you disagree with an initial VA claim decision received after February 2019, you have a choice of three review lanes. Contact an accredited representative to help you decide which choice is right for you. For more information, visit va.gov/decision-reviews.
I can take control with VA's new, faster review process.
Through Travis Mannion Foundation's Operation Legacy service projects, veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians across the country come together under the common cause to serve in honor of our nation's heroes. Service projects include city beautifications, planting memorial trees, volunteering at shelters, park cleanups, and more. Ask yourself, if not me, then who? And register for a project near you or as a virtual volunteer by visiting oplegacy.org.
Now's the time
to make a difference.
Now's the time to take a stand.
To get involved.
To make a change.
Now's the time to raise a hammer and drive a nail.
To build a wall.
And open a door to a new life.
Now's the time to help Habitat for Humanity build hope and change lives with a family in your community or around the world.
Now's the time.
Now, more than ever, help build it.
Visit Habitat.org.
Hey, welcome back to Inside Track. Our guest for the first portion of today's show is Ed Ackerley, independent nominee for Tucson Mayor. Ed, last week, Tia Gloria, she's a friend of everybody who listens to this radio station and she listens to the show. She was interviewed by me. She sent this message out to all of her friends, which I'll paraphrase for brevity. She says, I've never done this before, but I'm seriously worried. I'm worried about crime, our roads, and the general quality of life in Tucson. Boy, aren't we all. These are things that impact not only Tucson, but all the towns around us. We live in the heart of Tucson, and there have been burglaries or attempted burglaries countless times in my neighborhood. The last time was in February when we were awakened at 4 a.m. by a man wielding a baseball bat and pounding on Ted's office door. When that didn't give, he started in on the car. It was horrifically scary, and it wasn't the first time. Because of that, she says, I'm asking that you give Ed Ackerley a few bucks for his campaign. He's an independent. His opponent has been on the city council for 12 years, and she's had no impact on these issues. She's more focused on national and international issues, while locally we crumble. She says, I've known Ed Ackerley for years and years. She also called you sort of a nerd, okay, which I think is a good thing in your case. She says he's down to earth, worked hard, not only at the University of Arizona, but in his private business. Please give as little as $10. You can give more. He'll take it. And send that to www.ackerleyformayor, that's ackerleyformayor, M-A-Y-O-R, .com, ackerleyformayor.com. So, Ed, welcome to the show. Let's talk about Sanctuary City Proposition just real quick. We'll touch a little on it later. You oppose it. The current mayor, police chief, and many others oppose it. Tell us why this proposition is so dangerous, real quick. Then we'll get into your priorities.
Sure. I oppose the initiative because of what it would do to the city of Tucson in terms of law enforcement and a potential loss of revenue from state-shared revenue. I oppose it generally. I oppose the concept of sanctuary cities for our city because it would be devastating to our economy and would actually make it less able for us to provide the services for which the initiative is written for, to try and help some people. It would actually take away financial resources. So for those reasons, I am opposed to the initiative, but also opposed to sanctuary city label in general for our city.
So let's get to the Ed's priorities. I think these are all priorities for Tucsonans' safety. You believe in expanding police and fire. Talk about how critical the staffing levels are now.
Well, back when Mayor Walkup was mayor, he had over 1,200 police officers in force for the city of Tucson. You know, the population back then was about 656,000 people, and currently, we're nudging over a million, and we have about 763 police officers. Well, you're down about 400 police officers, about 25% reduction in force, but yet you have a 40% increase in population. We're going the wrong direction. We need to increase the number of police officers as the population increases. We need to continue to keep up with that population increase. And we're just not able to provide service to the citizens of Tucson. Many calls going, people calling 911 and then not getting a response because the police officers are so strapped for, they don't have enough people to cover the calls that they have. And the same is true of fire. Fire is down the number of people. They simply don't have the amount of personnel they need. Firefighters are serving as counselors for mentally ill and drug rehab officers for people who are on drugs, and they're not actually working on the initiatives that they went to school for and that they trained for, which is public service and saving lives and so forth. So we just have an issue where we are going in the wrong direction with personnel for public safety, and this is an issue for our community because it affects us not only in the public safety side of things, but it's also one of the key factors that drives economic development. And when companies come into town, they want to make sure that we have a good public safety system and that we have good roads and good parks. And so this continues to be an issue, and the current council has not been able to sustain the right amount of resources pointed at the fire and police. And so when I become mayor, we're going to make a priority of this so that we can turn this around and start moving in another direction.
So, you know, the mayor of Tucson doesn't have a lot of political clout to vote, but the mayor of Tucson, as Lou Davis did, as Jim Corbett did, and many other successful mayors, they use the bully pulpit, and you would use the bully pulpit, I presume, to expand in police and fire here in Tucson, get the numbers up from where they are. Right now, even though they're getting new officers joining the force, they keep losing officers through retirement and attrition and really not making any progress at all. It's around 760 officers, and that's according to Mayor Rothschild in a radio interview earlier this week.
Yeah, and that's an issue because, you know, so we're training 20, coming through the class of training 20, but we're losing 30 or 40 on the back end, so we have a net loss after each class comes through. And the reason we're losing some of them is obviously because they're aging out or they're retiring, but also because other jurisdictions are able to offer them a little bit more money and a little bit less of a workload that they have. And so we're less attractive, and as we lose more officers, that whole thing cycles in the wrong direction and becomes less attractive to be an officer in the city of Tucson when you can go somewhere else and not be working so hard and not being paid the dollars that we're being paid. So it's, you know, we've been forced into this cycle of heading in the wrong direction, and we have to do something about it in order for us to be safe and secure, but also to jumpstart the economy. And when people come into Tucson to look to see if whether or not they're going to open a business here in Tucson, they look at a couple things. They look at, obviously, they look at schools and neighborhoods and so forth, but they look at public safety, and they look at the infrastructure of roads, and they look at parks in our case, because that's an indicator of the lifestyle that we have. And if we can't take care of those core services, then many times the economic development piece is kind of, you know, well, I think we'll pass on this, we'll go somewhere else, where it seems like they have it together. And the city council just can't seem to prioritize these things that have been a perennial problem for, you know, the last dozen years or so.
So, you know, there's not only the level one calls that come into TPD and to Tucson Fire, there's also non-emergency calls that come in. And you've recommended a 311 non-emergency line enhancement to handle some of those non-emergency calls, so folks actually get a live human voice or a live human being that come to their home or to their business or out on the street when there's an accident. And this is something that you've emphasized as part of your safety program, isn't it?
Yeah, we have the technology to do this, and that is to put the 311 system in place so that police officers and firefighters are, you know, go to the priority one calls and make sure that we have life-saving resources available. And what is happening now is when something happens that is not of that high priority, there's no place to call, so the call comes into 911. That ties up the 911 system, and then it also dispatches a unit out, whether it be police officers or whether it be a, you know, 8-member crew on an engine, $1 million engine going down the street to respond to a call that comes in that doesn't need that level of service. And so one of the ways to mitigate the shrinking number of force is to kind of siphon off some of that dedicated service to some other folks, some other departments, and some other places where we can respond to some of these calls that are not high priority. And certainly the 911 operators are trying their best to juggle the resources and to direct the police and fire to the places that need the service the most. But what's muddling the whole thing is the non-emergency calls that are coming in, and they have to be responded to at some point and by somebody. And so the 311 system gives us the opportunity. It does two things. One, it alleviates the using of resources in the wrong area, but it also provides some dedicated service. So, for instance, if it's a mental health call or a drug situation, which doesn't require a whole engine with 8 guys on it to go respond to, but it gets the appropriate people there to respond for the help. And so if we have a nurse practitioner or a drug counselor or someone that could go out and take the vitals and be engaged with the person, it's a much smarter, leaner way to do this instead of just every time a call comes in, let's sound out the whole force and, you know, go figure out what's going on. So I've been a real advocate of this, and we have the infrastructure to do that, and it will save us money in the long run, but it'll also provide better service for the community. And it's an idea whose time has come.
Yes. So one more thing on safety while we're on that topic. And It's a tough one to sound glamorous, but it's the blocking and tackling sometimes that really makes a difference. We've got a real pension problem, not just with public safety employees, but with all Tucson City employees. And your platform emphasizes pension reform. This council, this mayor, has been absolutely unmoved trying to get our pension system into the 21st century to match up with private business and probably give, in the long run, all of the city employees a much better break on their pensions and make sure that it's solvent when they're there for retirement. You've done that. I mean, that's part of your plan.
Right. And you know, the public safety is a little bit of a different issue because it's tied to the state and the state retirement fund, and the state legislature had to crack open the Constitution and make a little change for them to not go insolvent, basically, in the next couple of years. So the state was able to step in and do a few things that the city can't do. But with the other city workers that are looking for their pensions, and at one point we're so upside down that it looked like it might be a case where new workers would be not offered the same kind of a pension plan, and that there would be a lot of folks would be having to be cut with what they've already worked for and expected to get, that they might have to have a reduction in that. And part of this is just the whole concept of living beyond your means, and we have not prioritized the right things. The city council has you know, not focused on public safety, not focused on roads and transportation, not focused on parks. And what it has done is spent the money in other places. And we just have to really come back to, as you say, the blocking and tackling, the fundamentals. And pensions, obviously, with city employees is a very important thing. In order to retain employees and to keep them in the system and to train them and spend the money that we do on training to get them into the system, we've got to make sure that we have the reward for them at the end. And this just takes good fiscal management and good futuristic vision. And the managers is working on this, but the council has to provide leadership in this area and make sure that we can retain these city workers and have them, you know, part of it is esprit de corps, too. If you work for a long time and there's nothing at the end, it kind of makes you not too excited about your job. And so some of our city services may suffer from the fact that this question mark lingering over the pension program. So it is a very important issue, and we have to deal with it. And I think we need to deal with it head on.
All right, so let's move to transportation. And mayor candidates, city council candidates, they talk a lot about wanting to improve the city streets. Other than public safety, probably the most talked about things in town as being a problem are our decaying streets. And I want to, again, I'm sending out a signal to maybe somebody from the city who could be listening this afternoon. There's a big honking chuck hole in the middle of the southbound lane on Tucson Boulevard, headed south toward Broadway, just south of Himmel Park. It nearly shook the fillings out of my teeth the other day, and I've hit that thing twice. And I mean, there's one story like that after another. My wife and I made a left northerly turn from Grant onto Swan last weekend, and I thought we were in Kandahar. I mean, the car literally slid over as we kind of bumped and bumped and bumped making that turn. You've got a plan. You want to fill 8,000 potholes per month. How many potholes do you think I'd fill now?
Well, currently about half that on a good month that they try and respond to, and that's just obviously not enough because you're pointing out that there's plenty left to be filled. And you know, if we double our efforts under the current employee structure that we have and the supplies that we have, we could double that if we just made it a priority to do that. We need to fix these streets, but we suffer from another technical problem in that when these streets relate, especially the north-south corridor arterial streets, when we laid those down, you know, 30, 40, 50, 70 years ago, just laid them down and we're going to use them as the way to the rains that we have had to run the water off of the main streets, and they go down Country Club or Lake Alvernon, et cetera. And what that does is that puts the water on the surface as opposed to putting it underneath the street. And in doing that, because we laid out the streets that way so many years ago, we've been suffering for years with decay and deterioration of the surface. And then he put on top of that 130-degree temperatures during the summertime and large trucks and other vehicles pressing down on that. It makes for a formula that we're going to have this problem with charcoals. And every time that we have a big rain, these potholes then are they come out again. They wash out, and there's something that they filled two or three times before. It now has to be filled, and it's even bigger. So we've painted ourselves into a corner many years ago, and then we just have not stayed on top of this issue over the last 10 or 12 years, and it's gotten away from us. And, you know, the University of Arizona rated from all the large major metropolitan areas in the Southwest, the Tucson's streets were recorded as the worst of any of those. We have about 3,000 miles of roads, and, you know, the federal government has listed them as most of them in poor condition and have passed a bond election to try and mitigate this. And, you know, we shouldn't be passing bonds for maintenance and repair. We should be passing bonds for infrastructure and for things that are outside of the regular operations. But we had to pass a bond to try and fill holes and to resurface. And, you know, 250 miles is about all we've really been able to do, and that's only about 8% of the roads that we need to have fixed have actually gotten that kind of attention. And so we're up against it again. We have a situation where we have a lot of repair and a lot of fixing that needs to be done, yet the resources haven't been committed by the city council to the extent that they could be. And as we fix roads and they become better, then these companies that come in and look at our infrastructure and say, okay, this town has it together, we can build here, then we have more money into the general fund and the discretionary fund that we can put towards roads and transportation.
All right, Ed, we got less than a minute left, so I'm going to give the Reader's Digest version. Ed wants to use HERF funds as intended to help fund our roads, synchronize and modernize signal. My God, they've been talking about that for about 300 years. On the economy, Ed's for affordable housing. He wants to attract higher paying jobs, and he wants to help existing businesses. On parks, he wants to fulfill the basic charter mandates. Grow the damn grass. Keep parks safe and clean. They're not safe and they're not clean. And he wants to build and maintain parks. So that gives us about 40 seconds here to talk about one more time your opinion on sanctuary cities. We got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
It would be devastating for the city of Tucson to be labeled a sanctuary city. It would bust the bank in terms of the resources that we have. It's not in the best interest of the short-term fix of the problem, but it's also devastating for the long-term for the city of Tucson. I'm not in favor of it, and I would vehemently oppose that in my administration.
That's it for today, Ed. I'm sorry we don't have any more time. We're going to have you back on the show soon. There's plenty more to talk about. Until then, that's going to do it for now. And stay tuned. We have some advertising messages for you. When we come back, we're going to talk about Hong Kong. You're listening to Inside Track. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it, just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
As you know, I advertise restaurants where I eat and recommend services my family and I use ourselves. Our money issues are handled by Imus Wilkinson, 3561 East Sunrise, 777-1911. Most folks need a good financial advisor for more than one reason. Here's one of the best ones. They'll keep you from doing really stupid things with your investments and property. Remember when it seemed lots of people planned to get rich borrowing money on their house so they could buy another one? It's now called the housing bubble. I have friends, as do you, who lost their homes playing that game, who would have been saved by decent financial advice like you get from Imus Wilkinson. They'll keep you from doing dumb stuff. They also can help you do smart things. And Imus Wilkinson doesn't make anything by churning your investments like too many others in the business do. They make money when you make money. Give them a call today at 777-1911. That's an easy number for most of this audience, 777-1911, and get an appointment to have Imus Wilkinson see if they can help you like they help my family and many others.
Time and time again, one company knocks auto repair right out of the park, Clipper Automotive. Over 15 years ago, Clipper built their business on a foundation of fast, reliable, and honest service. And like a seasoned veteran at the plate in the bottom of the ninth, you can trust Clipper's expertise. From oil changes to major repairs, their trained professionals have over a century of combined experience. Now that's a lot of baseball seasons for five-star customer service that's always a home run. Count on Clipper Automotive with same-day or next-day service. They never upsell or oversell. And be sure to ask about senior, military, and first responder discounts. Call them at 585-4254 or visit clipperautomotive.com. Clipper Automotive at Thornydale and Costco Drive.
I'm a 40-year-old man that walked in there to get his high school diploma. It was very hard for me, but Miss Araceli, she gave me direction.
At age 47, Marco finished his high school diploma.
50% of getting your high school diploma is walking through those doors. The other 50% is doing the work.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Open calendar. What's my schedule looking like?
Next Thursday, you will be caught in an emergency flash flood between Park and First Street.
What? No, that doesn't work. I'm busy then. Decline. Decline.
Floods don't exactly work around your schedule. Disasters don't plan ahead. But you can. It starts with talking to your loved ones about making an emergency plan. So don't wait. Communicate. Visit ein.az.gov. Brought to you by the Arizona Emergency Information Network, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Track, brought to you by Imus Wilkinson Asset Management. Our guests for the remainder of the show are two of the most incredible people I know. One of them is a colleague of mine from the RNC, Solomon Yu, who is the National Committeeman from Oregon. Solomon himself, a refugee from Chinese tyranny many years ago, came to this country and has made a great life for him and his family. Our other guest, very honored to have, Sunny Cheng, who has come to America to fight for the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Bill, bipartisan legislation to promote democracy for 8 million plus Hong Kongers. Sonny, recently Senator Marco Rubio said China's escalating threats against Hong Kong is not an internal matter. It's a blatant violation of commitment to Hong Kong's autonomy Beijing made in an international treaty, and given their history of repression, Chinese troops massed on the border is cause for grave concern. I know that you have been in D.C. recently. And you've been talking with members of the House and the Senate. You've testified before the Congressional Economic Efficiency Committee on China. What do you think about what Senator Rubio said about Hong Kong's troubles right now not being an internal matter? Is this something that rises to attention throughout the world?
Thanks for your question. I do agree what Marco Rubio say, because we know that Hong Kong is a very international financial hub. And many foreign countries have this interest in Hong Kong right now. And that's why Hong Kong matter is not just a domestic matter of China. Actually, we do believe international society, especially for the Americans, they do have stake to in this matter, and they can have a say in this matter, because any policy that undermines the autonomy and function of Hong Kong as an international city, that can also harm the interests of the United States. And that's why I do believe United States should have a say in Hong Kong matters.
One of your colleagues who's joining you in Washington while you're in this country, Kex Leong, has been a victim of brutality from the police, from the People's Liberation Army. He was brutally beaten and jailed without due process. His experience has made him very committed to basic human rights in Hong Kong. Sonny, Hong Kongers have been marching for over 100 days. Tell us what it was like when your friend, Kex, was taken and jailed, probably in the middle of a peaceful demonstration and jailed. How traumatic was that for him and for the rest of you student leaders?
Actually, student union leaders in Hong Kong, we are always being followed, traced, and harassed. Many of us receive threatening letters from some people who are pro-Beijing and who side with Beijing. And that's why actually, we face a lot of pressure, and especially for Cass, he was one of the victims of the police brutality problem 1 month ago. He was arrested due to the police unreasonable detainment, because unfortunately, the police arrested him, but he didn't participate in any demonstration on that day. And then the police explained to him that, actually, I know you are innocent. I know you didn't participate in movement, but I still have to arrest you because you are student union members. And my boss asked me to arrest somebody, so I arrest you. So you can actually tell that how ridiculous the Hong Kong police force is right now. They already lost their reputation. They already lost their professionalism. They really randomly, selectively just try to prosecute some people in order to create white terror, to silence and scare protesters in Hong Kong.
It sounds from your description, Sonny, the contact that he had with the Hong Kong police, it doesn't seem like they're really in support of the government who wants them to do these things. Is it your sense that there is support for the student union leaders within the Hong Kong police, but they're powerless to stand up to their Chinese communist masters?
Well, actually, student unions in Hong Kong quite powerful in a sense that we organize a lot of rallies and demonstration. And of course, for the Chinese government and even the police force, they dislike our action, they dislike our behaviors when we are just normally exercising our freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. And that's why student unions in Hong Kong, we are fighting very hard to achieve what we want. But of course, the terror created by the communist regime and created by the police force won't easily scare and silence us.
So you've also been arrested during the Umbrella Movement some time ago. What was your experience when you were arrested?
A few years ago, I was arrested during Umbrella Movement. And by that time, actually, the police were still trying to calm down themselves, try to act like they are very professional. However, actually, their behavior and their manners are rapidly deteriorating, especially over this past few months. Actually, Hong Kong police is always proud of their reputation for being the best cops in Asia. But over the past few months, apparently, it demonstrates that they are so ridiculous. They arrest people without reason, and they use the tear gas and rubber bullets, and then to shoot the protester at their head level. And some protesters already lost their eyes, unfortunately, and this can tell how ridiculous and unreasonable those police are.
Solomon Yu, You're very familiar with the legislation. It's bipartisan legislation, I understand, that's going through Congress right now. It's been described as economic assured mutual destruction, a weapon that would sanction or punish members of the government, the army, the police, and so on in Hong Kong and elsewhere for a lack of freedom and democracy as was guaranteed under the basic law. Where do things sit with that legislation at this time?
The bill right now is going through House Committee and Senate Committee. The House Committee is called House Foreign Affairs Committee, and Senate Committee is called Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I believe we have 80% votes to pass this bill. The name of the bill is Human Rights and Democracy Act. What this bill is going to do actually is going to authorize U.S. government, especially State Department, annually review Hong Kong Policy Act grants Hong Kong special treatment as a independent city different from mainland cities. And with that unique position, Hong Kong become the world finance center as today. So U.S. taxpayers and investors do have a stake in this fight. The reason is very, very simple. A billion investments at a risk. That's one. And when we lose our billions investment, that become our national security interest because bring down our stock market. That's why U.S. is a stakeholder of Hong Kong. I know Hong Kong, if Carrie Lam says U.S. should not pass this bill because not Hong Kong stakeholders. No. When we have our financial interest, that financial interest is damaged. We bring down our stock market. That is our national security threat. So we do have a stakeholder there, okay? To talk about this bill, I would put it this way. When this bill authorized a State Department to review Hong Kong Policy Act, Hong Kong Policy Act really is a neutral assured economic destruction option. The reason is when you make Hong Kong a average city just in mainland China, and Hong Kong is able to finance mainland companies, allow mainland companies to access U.S. capital and U.S. dollars, okay? So Chinese economy will be in a free fall without, and meanwhile, you have collateral damage. Hong Kong economy will be damaged. Average Hong Kongers will pay a price.
But certainly there'll also be a price to pay for officials, Phil Solomon, or who are involved. Yeah.
Yes, those Hong Kong officials, police officers, in human rights abuse and brutality, should pay a price. But we have other tools in our box we can use. Good example will be sanctioning them. The sanctioning is based on you hold Hong Kong human rights violators accountable for their conduct. The way you place them on the sanction list, and U.S. government actually can freeze their assets in U.S. and also can seize their bank account, U.S. Visa. And the other tool is even better. Under U.S. Patriot Act, there are anti-money laundering provisions as to go after corrupt CCP officials, Chinese CCP.
That's Communist Chinese Party.
Communist China Party officials and Chinese People's Liberation Army corrupt officers. And they makes them their kids legitimate and illegitimate, their wives to U.S. to buy houses, to invest in U.S., they come with suitcase full of U.S. dollars. When they go through U.S. customs, they don't declare. When customs officers ask you, do you bring in more than 10,000? No. Well, guess what? Based on that, we can seize the assets again. You got a 1.4 million Chinese in mainland China. They don't know those corrupt officials are doing this kind of stuff. Stealing from them, from their economy, and transfer money. They hide money, hide their mistress, hide their wives. Okay? Now, their names should be disclosed. All it takes is U.S. government to declassify those intel on those corrupt Chinese officials. So what I'm saying is we can do precision strike, protect Hong Kong freedom fighters, and stop brutality, meanwhile, without causing collateral damage to average Hong Kongers. That's my point.
And the president's ready to sign this bill as soon as it is passed by both houses.
Absolutely, yes.
Imus Wilkinson Investments, 777-1911, is a unique investment management firm. They pay little attention to where the market indicators are because smart investment management goes way beyond checking stock exchanges. They are very good at managing all types of investment based on client expectations. They build relationships, and they want clients, not customers. My family is proudly included among them, and they'll help you, as they did us, design a portfolio that achieves what you want when you need it. Imus Wilkinson Investments, they're really good at what they do. 777-1911.
Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
My main goal is to make everything easy for the customer, whether every decision I make in terms of business is, will this make sense for the customer, and is this make it easier for the customer to come and look at material, how the yard is organized, what material we cover, what material we offer, anything like that.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona reminds pet owners to make sure their pets are protected during the summer months. Make sure your pets have plenty of fresh water and access to get indoors and out of the heat. If you are walking your dog, touch the sidewalk or pavement first. If it's too hot for you to touch for 5 seconds, it's too hot for your animal. Walk them early in the morning or late in the evening to avoid painful burns on their paws. Get more info on the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org.
You're listening to Doug, Jen, and Victoria.
I just listened to 3 minutes worth of conversation about flats versus heels, and I found out that all of the ladies are, number one, taller than I am, and I don't know whether the flats developed because they felt they should wear flat shoes when they're with me or not.
I found out is wearing flats apparently means you've given up on life, so yes. that's where I'm at right now.
Weekday mornings from 10 to noon on 1030 The Voice. It's your town. Get up and get involved.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Everyone have an amazing weekend. If you missed anything, go to the KVOI podcast page. We'll see you Monday. Oro Valley Police Chief Danny Sharp stops by. Rick Grinnell stops by to talk about the history of the City of Tucson mayor's race. And the good folks from St. Odelia are doing their big fall fiesta. Wake Up Tucson.
Weekday mornings, 6 to 9 on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Bruce Ash here. If you want conservative truth, the right track to the leading thinkers and leaders in our movement, listen to Inside Track, where we are keeping America great. Inside Track, Saturdays from 1 until 2 p.m. on AM 1030, The Voice.
Sonny, there's a recent headline that says Hong Kong government must investigate police violations and push back against Beijing's red line. Any progress on pushing back against Beijing's red line? And how can you, given the corrupt nature of the Chinese government, how can the government itself investigate these police violations and do so fairly?
To be honest, it is very unlikely for the Hong Kong and the Chinese government to listen to the people's demands to establish an independent inquiry to investigate the police brutality problem. Because the reason why they are not making concession is because the police force is their last ally in the civil society in Hong Kong. And that's why, without the international society, especially if Hong Kong without the support of the United States, we cannot pressurize our government to establish independent commission. And then the point is that the Communist Party is so evil in the sense that they look down and discriminate human rights, not just in Hong Kong, but also in mainland China, Tibet, in Xinjiang. And these cases already demonstrate that the Chinese government, they don't really care about human rights. They only care about their survival. They only care about stability of the regime. However, the political freedom and the freedom of speech and assembly of individual, of each citizen, are not being well protected and safeguarded based on the basic law or based on any constitution or other international treaty. They are not well protected based on this treaty. And Chinese government apparently violates all these international treaties, and they does not really keep their promise to give democracy and protect our freedom to Hong Kong people just based on the basic law and the one country, two systems. How can Hong Kong people trust them when they even cannot keep their promise? How can we trust them will make any concession to establish an independent commission to investigate the police problem?
I understand, and I watched an interview that you and your two colleagues gave, I believe, on the BBC recently, and you all talked about many of your fellow protesters who, when they go and peacefully demonstrate in Hong Kong, they take with them a last will and testament in case they are murdered in the course of that demonstration. Can you talk about that at all, Sonny?
Of course. This is very heartbreaking because many teenagers and youth in Hong Kong, they are so desperate because we don't have a government chosen by our own people, and even our people power quite resilient. But we know that the power of the Communist Party in mainland China is still much stronger than us, and that's why we are so desperate that we may not achieve what we want. And so for those children, for those teenagers, actually they have no choice. They can only fight against this regime. They can only try their best to carry on protesting on the street. They can just carry on their demonstration on the street. So even now, they carry their last will and testament because they know that when they go on to the streets, they have to face the police force. They have to face the police force by using their excessive force. And this is very dangerous, and this could put their security, safety, and life in danger. But still, they choose to come out because they love Hong Kong. We love our motherland, and we want to fight against communism and this Communist Party.
I understand that recently thousands of your colleagues sang the Star Spangled Banner during one of your demonstrations. There appears to be great love for the institutions that have been developed in liberty and democracy here in the United States with your Hong Konger friends.
Yes. I mean, actually, not just in the United States. I mean, we do appreciate many Hong Kong people in D.C., in New York, in many places, or even all over the world, in London, in Melbourne, Canada. They all organize rallies and demonstrations to demonstrate the solidarity that many people still support Hong Kong and care about Hong Kong.
I'd like to add 2 points here. One, when you hear those kids carry, does that remind you our founding father, Patrick Henry?
Sure.
Give me liberty or give me death.
And there's tens of thousands of troops literally right across the border waiting to swoop in whenever their bosses tell them to in order to save their skins.
Yeah.
I have to leave it there. We're at the end of the show. And as we close today's show, I want to thank Ed Ackerley for joining us. We wish him good luck, and please support him in the Tucson election. Mail-in ballots are due out soon. Don't waste any time. Vote Ackerley, vote Hicks, vote Williams, vote Nagy, and vote no to prevent Tucson from becoming a sanctuary city. And I give great honor to Sonny and Solomon, who've joined us. We give Sonny and all of his colleagues our prayers and Godspeed. While we take our liberties here in America for granted, Sonny and his colleagues are fighting for theirs against a brutal totalitarian regime from China. You heard them. When they join their community to protest in the streets, they bring a last will and testament, not knowing if they'll survive the night or, worse yet, whether they'll be snatched by the PRC and never seen again. So when you're speaking in front of your county board or the city council, just remember what a real fight looks like. When they have something to say to their government, these people are oftentimes looking down the barrel of a rifle aimed directly at them or on the receiving end of a nightstick. Sonny, thank you very, very much. All of our listeners wish you Godspeed and victory in your cause. And finally, I hope all of our listeners here will support our great Inside Track customers, Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, Corazon Cabinets, and Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. These are great locally owned and family-run companies. You should do business. Until next week for Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon.